I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. There's a lot to learn about walking with God. There's a lot to learn, and if you've allowed the world to influence your thinking, the times you got to unlearn some stuff. You've got to get renewed in your mind, because so much of what the world does around us is just wrong. It's wrong thinking. It's wrong speaking. It's wrong reacting. And God's ways don't change. He's the same as He's always been. And His ways work. Father, we present ourselves before You today, asking for quickening of Your Spirit, asking for the anointing that reveals, that guides, that teaches, that reminds, that shows us things to come. We ask for it in Jesus' name, and we thank You for it. Amen. We are continuing on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're just getting more and more persuaded that God wants us to have everything we need. And even some good things that we desire. We begin giving 30 reasons one by one why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And recently we just said, hey, what's better than 30? 40. Let's do 40 reasons. So that's what we're continuing now. And we're on reason number 29 in our study. And we're calling it, take no thought, from this scripture in Matthew 6 and Luke 12 and different places. Let's go look at it again. Matthew, the 6th chapter. The Lord told us not to take, not to accept certain kinds of thoughts. He, in teaching us about prayer and the Lord's Prayer, as it's called, He said in verse 11 of chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. Well, He must want you to have it, or He wouldn't tell you to ask for it. Mm-hmm. Right. Would He tell you to ask for something He might not be His will to give you, or on a certain time or day? That would be hopelessly confusing. Yeah. No, it is His will. And then He starts talking more about it in verse 25 when He says, therefore I say to you, take no thought. Now the understood subject here is you. You are not to take this kind of thought. And the evidence that you took it is because you said it. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Don't accept any anxious thoughts and feelings, and certainly don't say it, about what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to live? How are we going to make it? So we've already talked about this. When He says, give us this day our daily bread, that doesn't mean the only thing we'll ever eat is bread. Mm-hmm. It includes everything we eat. And then He broadened it out to everything you wear. And you can see He's just talking about what we call the necessities and even the good desires of life. Give us this day all we need. Our daily bread. And so He's saying, but we have a part to play in this. Ask it, pray about it, believe He heard you, and expect it to happen. And if you're expecting it to happen, then you're not worrying about it. Right. than when thoughts... Now, he had to say it because he knew the enemy's here, and the enemy's going to bring the thoughts to worry and fear. And so he's telling you, don't take them. And if he said, don't take them, that is wonderful news. It means I don't have to take it. He wouldn't tell me to do something I can't do. And so that means that you and I have the ability, especially born again people with the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can resist wrong thoughts and suggestions and feelings, which are temptations to doubt, temptations to fear. Every day when you and I wake up and get going, there will be many throughout the day opportunities to fear and doubt. You want to pass by every one of them. Yes, is that right? And just say, no thanks. No, not for me. None for me. The enemy will bring his, like we said, his ball of worms of thoughts and junk to you. But every time, somebody say every time.
Every time.
Every thought. Just say no. And even stronger than that, grab it and slam it.
Yes.
Cast it down. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. We've referred to this, but let's read it. Look at it. And about verse 6 here. It said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. To what end? Why? That He may exalt you in due time. How about that? God is the God of promotion.
Yes.
He's the God of elevation.
Yes.
He's the God of lifting.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He is not opposed to your being exalted.
Mm-hmm.
Or He wouldn't say He's going to do it. He is opposed to you doing it.
That's it.
Self-exaltation is not okay. That's because that's you thinking you can do it. You thinking you can make it of yourself, accomplish it of yourself. No, this humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is a demonstration that I know I can't do it. Right? On my own, I know I can't do anything that's worth anything by myself. And so, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand, because in you and with you, I can do anything, but not by myself. But notice the very next thing. Verse 7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting. So these thoughts go together. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, Jesus, at one point, he actually wept over the city and said, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, talking about under the wing. And, you know, the psalmist talked about that, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings and under the shadow and cover of the Almighty. And that's what He's talking about here. You humble yourself. You come to God like a little chick.
Yeah.
Runs to the... Is that right?
Yeah.
Because to a little chick, the mother hen is a mountain.
Right.
Is that right? And a place of warmth and comfort and protection.
Yes.
And so you run to God, and you're not trying to get over Him. You're getting under Him.
Yeah, yeah.
You right? Under His mighty hand.
Yeah.
And in this place, no worry.
Yeah.
Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Casting all your cares on Him in the place, under the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Why would I worry? Look where I am.
Right.
Is that right? Look where I am. In the secret place of the Most High. That's where the enemy can't find you. Is that right? Under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty is all His power. all his strength. That's why the 91st Psalm goes on to say, this is not going to get you, that's not going to get you, this is not going to hurt you, right? And you make it all the way to long life.
Yeah.
Satisfied. Why? Because you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he is over you.
Yes.
And around you and keeping you. So why would you worry? You still got to make the choice. Because even if you're in the safest place in the universe, you can still take a wrong thought and sit there and be dumb.
Yes.
And fret. Right?
Yes.
And lose awareness of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And what he told you and why you shouldn't be worrying. Casting all your care upon him. Now, like we said before, that word cast means to throw. Like throwing a ball. Cast it, throwing upon, I think is the literal definition. So throwing your any cares or worries that came to you, throwing them on him. Why? Because he goes on to say he cares for you. What does that mean? I can't fix this. I can't take care of this. If I'm smart, I won't hold on to it. Because I can't fix it.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
And if I keep holding on to it, it's going to be bad. Because
right.
I already know I can't do it. What should I do? Help me out. Help me. I should give it to somebody who can.
Yes.
Who can do something with it.
Yes.
And why do I need to throw it? It's sticky.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed it? It's, you know, it's sticky. Have you ever gone to cast a care and then 30 minutes later you thought, what is that? What is that doing there? Still, it's there. It's sticky. You got to throw it. That's why you got to throw it. You got to make an effort to get it away from you. And if the enemy brings it back, don't accept it. Throw it. Just keep throwing it and get it off of you. How can I tell it's off of me? I'm not worrying about it. I'm not laying here crying and carrying on. If I've got it, he doesn't. That's bad. That's a problem because I can't fix it. I got to get it to somebody that can. If he has it, I don't have it. If it's on him, it's not on me. And he's so big. Huh? He won't even feel it. Is that right? All of us can give him all our cares, all billions of us on the planet. And he's like, great, fixed. The Amplified, I like the way it says it. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. Don't take it back. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He's watching over us. He cares about us. He's not indifferent towards us. He genuinely calls us his children, cares about us. So we can trust that when we give it to him, we don't have to wonder about it after that. We can just rest that he will take care of it. In 2 Timothy 1, let's look at that as well. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12, he said this, he said, which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Is God responsible for things you didn't commit to him?
No.
For things you didn't get? Well, why would he say, cast it on him? Why would he say, that which I've committed, if it doesn't matter whether you do or not? It does matter. And here's the thing, and boy, I've done this with myself many times. If I catch myself thinking too much, and we already talked about that, how can I tell when I've gone beyond just thinking about it, and I've taken an anxious thought, torment, some degree of vexing. You know you've crossed the line. When there's some, it's you're not just thinking about it, it's chewing on you. Vexing, torment. That means you're doing something you should not be doing, and you didn't do something he told you to do. It means you've got it. It's sitting on you. And what did he say? Cast it. Throw it on him. Isn't that another way of committing it to him? Huh? Committing it to him. You know, Psalm 37 says it like this. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Psalm 37, 3. He said, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. What'd you say out loud? Verily.
Verily.
I will be fed.
I will be fed.
Then he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I've heard people say before, well, God never promised he'd give you your wants. He said he'd give you your needs. Yeah, you need to read again. Desire is not need. And 1 Timothy 6 says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's not a need. No, he's a good father. He goes on to say, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And what will happen? You just never know. Now, people say that. But quit saying that. What will happen? I commit it to him. I come and humble myself under the mighty hand of God and say, God, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do. But I'm not going to sit here and fume and worry about it. I'm going to give it to somebody that can do something. Here. 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 Hmm? And you can tell when it's off you because on him because it's no longer on you. And then what can I do? I committed it to him. I'm trusting him. He shall bring it to pass. Somebody say, he shall.
He shall.
Bring it to pass.
Bring it to pass.
He shall.
He shall.
Bring it to pass.
Bring it to pass.
He will.
He will.
Bring it to pass.
Bring it to pass.
That's why I don't need to worry. Mm-hmm. Now see, it wouldn't be reasonable to say, don't worry about it. It might be God's will for you and your kids to starve, but don't worry about it. Now you're laughing, but people try to say such things. That whatever tragedy and awful thing is going to happen, well, God's in it some mysterious way. Now that's not going to work.
No.
You're not going to be okay with watching your kids starve.
No. Amen.
Mm-mm. But if you can be confident,
yes,
that they ain't going to starve,
that's right,
that God is doing something,
yes,
it's all, the ram's on the way,
yes,
it's already in the works,
yes,
then you can stop worrying. You can get peace. Now he went on to say, verse 19, talking about these same individuals that trust in the Lord, that will be fed, that committed it to the Lord and trusted and he'll bring it to pass. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. That's rough times, hard times. And in the days of famine, that's the worst of times. In the days of famine, what about them? Will they starve like everybody else?
No.
Actually, they shall be satisfied. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
They won't be ashamed in the evil time. Even in days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And that's when he gets to verse 25 on down in the same psalm. Look at that. What did he say? I've been young and now I'm old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And there's another line, you never will. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Who always causes me to triumph.
Always
gives me the victory. Always
takes care of me.
Go with me if you would to, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. He said, take no thought. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but have you ever taken a thought that you shouldn't have taken? I don't even have to look up. I know. I have. You have. But let's get smart. Let's learn. Let's stop this. Because, you know, one of the big reasons the Lord told you and I, there's many, but one reason he told us, he actually commanded us, be careful for nothing. Cast all your cares over him. Is because we are not designed to handle it. Your mind, your emotions, your immune system, your body doesn't handle worry. It will break you down. It will make you old before your time. You and I were not designed to handle it. If you let fear and worry sit on you, it'll diminish your brain. It'll make your immune system weak. It will disrupt systems. Don't do it. Stop doing it. Don't say you can't. Huh?
That's right.
Obey God. And let your life be free. And let your life be extended. And live a full one. In 1 Samuel, and the first chapter, is the story of how the prophet Samuel came into the world. And his mother, Hannah, could not conceive. And her husband, the Bible said he loved her and she cared about him. But this thing of her not being able to have a child was just chewing her up. You can see it. The Bible said in verse chapter 1 and verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Because she was crying a lot and crying, you know, not just a day or two, but this is going on for months and I guess off and on for years. And he said, why won't you eat today? I mean, it's basically a festival and here you are crying again. And why is your heart grieved? And then she said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And she probably said, ah! Just really started. I don't know that that was the answer. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat in the seat by the post in the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And apparently, she's been doing this for years. No answers. No miracle. Has she taken thoughts?
Yes.
Hmm? What does she live and relive every day? What she doesn't have. What she doesn't know. What she can't do or can't have. The Lord actually put his finger on that with me some years ago. He said, Keith, don't think about, don't talk about, don't listen to what you don't know, what you don't have, what you can't do. Talk about what you know, what you have, what you can do, and that begets revelation. In his light, we see light. Can you see that? But the more you talk about what you don't know and what you're not and what you can't do and don't have, it puts you further in darkness. And that's what's happening to her. She's just going down in depression, always thinking about, she has fully taken that ball of worms we were talking about, and it's sitting in her mind and on her, and she is just, she can't quit crying. But she prayed and asked the Lord. And verse 12, while she's praying, Eli saw her mouth moving and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah said, verse 15, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. That was her identity. I hadn't drunk wine. I'm just pouring out my soul. Don't count me for a daughter of Belial. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, she's just living in it. I spoke thereof. Eli said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition as you have asked him. She took that as hearing from God.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this? Yes. You can see the next verse. She took that as like, God has answered my prayer.
Yes.
See, finally, she believed God heard her prayer.
Yes.
Oh, come on, can you see this? Now, I'm not judging her. She didn't have a Bible. They weren't born again, right? But she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Somebody say, no more sad.
No more sad.
And verse 20, it came to pass when the time had come about, Hannah conceived and bore a son. As long as she was sad, it was bad. But when she was no more sad, it was no more bad. Can you see this or not? See, she was thinking she was sad because it was bad. But really, it was bad because she was still sad. If we will quit grieving and being scared and worrying and being afraid and believe God has heard our prayer and go, whoo, we got it. Hallelujah. And start praising God, we will see miracles too. And our time's up again today. We'll see you soon back in Faith School. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't have to carry cares and worries? At the end of every week, I always like to speak over, pray over our partners, and we have a right to. And none of us and none of you should live depressed. You do not have to live with depression and heaviness and worry and fear. You don't have to. I'm going to pray a prayer. Hook with me. Believe with me. In Jesus' name, we resist all fears and cares. Every evil spirit harassing any of our partners, stop it in Jesus' name and leave them. Depression, say it out loud. Depression, leave me. Heaviness, go from me. Fear, leave me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know as a young boy, one of the first things the Lord helped me in this area with was the 23rd Psalm. Said out loud with me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I refuse to fear. And the peace of God keeps my heart and mind. I say peace over you, peace over your children, your family, your work, your business. In Jesus' name. We'll see you soon next week here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.